Hello, and welcome back to Unemployed Millennial Podcast. I am your host, Anne-Marie, and today's episode is with Ryan Ng, or Ryan Ng Films on YouTube. And if you don't know how that's spelled, it's Ryan Ng Films. I have actually been wanting to interview and have Ryan on my podcast ever since I met him at Creator Camp, specifically on the very last day. We were in the same car on a four-hour ride back to Colorado. Basically, he kind of was just like, Amory, we're going to sit next to each other and we're going to talk about how this past year was for you. Ryan's conversation definitely stuck with me for a while. This was actually like 6 months before I launched my podcast. It was really interesting because he really came up with a world for my podcast that was very much in line with the vision that I had for my podcast. And a lot of the things he said, a lot of kind of what he analyzed from his perspective was just very accurate and true. And so I really think he's a fascinating, analytical, artistic person. And I think that this shines through in this podcast. So that was kind of my first impression of Ryan. And the more I've gotten to know him, the more I enjoy talking to him, analyzing YouTube. And he really has instilled this idea of building your world in my head. I called it creating your own reality. He calls it building your world. And that goes from everything from the content that you put out, the thumbnails that you make that represent you and your art, to the clothes and shoes that you wear, those New Balance shoes that he loves. So we cover a lot in this conversation. He's also one of the co-founders of Creator Camp. We talk about that. We talk about Sneeko. Actually, my first ever impression of him, I made a video interning with Sneeko. And I didn't know what to title it. And I went on YouTube. And I saw on YouTube that Ryan Ng Films also made a video on Sneeko. And he called it Sneeko, the Kanye of YouTube, which I then copied and gave him credit for. So that was actually our first interaction. And I think that's a really funny sequence of events because now we're actually pretty good friends. And we kind of discuss that and Sneeko in the beginning of this podcast. We also discuss a lot about building your world, which I think is a very fascinating concept. And I'm very happy that we captured that because I think it's helpful to artists, to just people in general. Ryan has a very analytical and artistic mind. He describes his own YouTube, if you have not seen his YouTube channel. He is kind of making videos with the goal of building a library of resources for the next generation of artists and creators. A lot of what he does is trying to make art, specifically filmmaking, more democratized through normalizing our generation's mediums, which is vlogs, YouTube videos, short form content, as a legitimate art form. He's basically trying to get people to understand that YouTube vlogging is cinema and film for our generation. So I think he is very smart. I think he is one of my favorite people to talk about YouTube with. And I think this conversation kind of portrays a lot of why I like talking to him as a creative and as a person. So I hope you enjoy this conversation with Ryan. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Unemployed Millennial Podcast. Today, I have a very exciting guest. I've actually been wanting to podcast with you ever since our car ride back from Creator Camp.
Yeah, was this before you started your podcast?
Yeah,
and now it is 2:30 in the morning.
Oh yes.
Until we finally found time to do this at 2:30 in the morning.
And tomorrow, technically now, is the new year. Tomorrow is 2023. Oh, yeah. So this is kind of a good point to be vlogging or to be podcasting at.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have Ryan with me. Ryan Ng. Apparently I said your name and but I literally got it from you, Ng.
Ng, yeah, this is good. Yeah, it's honestly, it's better than how a lot of people say it.
Okay, well,
people
how would just you say
Ng. I just go with that. I think it's cool.
Ng.
Ng, yeah, or Ng.
Okay. Okay. I can't process that in between like Elliot today saying the lir, the LIRR.
I knew Max for like 3 months, and he spelled my name Ning, Ryan Ning, like N-I-N-G. Like, we pitched Polaroid, an idea for like the house that we wanted to do, and he spelled my name N-I-N-G.
Oh my gosh. I don't understand how people misspell, like, especially...
Especially because my YouTube channel
exactly,
is NG.
Exactly, exactly. Well, yeah. Like, okay, anyway. So I have Ryan Eng Films.
Yes.
Here with me. And my intro to you was, like, I literally copied your title, and I didn't fully watch the video even. But I was just like, I gave you credit. I tagged you.
I saw that. I saw that. And my friends were like, because we didn't know each other back then. Yeah. But my friends that like watched you were like, Anne-Marie copied your thumbnail. Or like, Anne-Marie copied your title.
I wouldn't be able to copy your thumbnails. They're too good. They're too advanced for me.
Oh, thank you.
Do you use Photoshop?
Yeah.
Okay. So you made a video called Sneeko.
Sneeko, the Kanye of YouTube.
Which has aged like... wine. At
yeah,
first
honestly,
it aged like cheese, you were saying last time I yeah. saw you.
But people in the comment section were like, it aged like spoiled milk. And like, I just remember this was like, I just remembered like feeling so bad about it.
About the video?
Yeah, and I was like, damn, like people are gonna think that I'm like a certain type of person because I made this video. And then I was like, should I pin a comment that says like, oh, like I agree like that this aged like spoiled or that this aged like milk. But then, and I pinned it for like 10 minutes and then like I completely removed it because I was like, nah, I got to just stand by my word. Like this is what I thought like a couple months ago. Like yeah. Why should I apologize for this? Or like why should I like feel bad about it? You know what I mean?
And did then, you start to feel bad after you got comments about it?
Yeah, yeah. And then after he started to streaming. Yeah, do all that stuff. But then I also felt bad because like I felt like he needed support at the time. And if I like though I think that video made him feel good about himself, which is great. But like if I were to do that and if he were to see that, that's not like helping anyone, I feel.
I completely agree. I take the same mindset. This is a hard topic for me. I could probably relate to you the most out of everyone yeah. because I copied the
we
title.
We should just completely like dive into it.
Okay,
and,
dang,
like,
okay.
Not even like screw what like, I mean like if people think that it's not, you know, they disagree with us, it's fine.
You would be the perfect person to talk about Sneeko with, yeah. I think, for me at least. That's the thing. Okay, so I guess if we're really going to go into it, I don't know how much I'm going to go into it, but...
Yeah. You can, yeah.
Okay, so I made my video also before... It was literally right before he started streaming. So I think it'd be a really interesting follow-up even to... Because it's... Actually, that title is so crazy. Because, like, the Kanye thing happened... He was, like, basically taken off the internet right after Sneeko was, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You go into it.
about like, what, like, how he... I mean, like...
There are a lot of different, I think, things that you could jump off of this with, even from what you were saying.
Yeah, I don't even know where to start.
It's, like, either, like, the feedback that you got that was making you question, or even you standing in your opinion, or even just, like... I guess.
Yeah, I stood by like what like I said at the time. And then like I went through and then I remember after I made that video, he called me and like I think we slowly started to build some sort of relationship. And as I started uploading more, I think he became a supporter of my channel. And then how do I say this? Like I got into this one call with him and I have this all recorded and I was telling him like, this is what the future of YouTube can look like. You are the future of YouTube. Like the way that you're telling stories, the way that you're like actually having meaningful conversations. And that was back when he was doing like the 1 minute
channel.
Podcast and like,
which is crazy because you actually can't go to reference those videos anymore.
I know, which is so
all
sad.
Deleted.
It is so sad because sometimes I want to go back and like, watch things for inspiration and like his used to be a really big catalog for me to go back to and it's all gone.
So you've been watching him for a while then?
Yeah. For like three years. Yeah. But I remember, so that specific call, he was like, you're getting into the same trap that I got into. And he's like, I was the same believer that storytelling could win on YouTube. I was the same exact person, but I guarantee you that you're making no money right now. I was like, yeah, you're right. But like, I was like, but the community is like, you have to understand that now there's a community for it. And like, I think that he's just, for the last 2-3 years, was just beaten down so much from, and like fighting against the YouTube algorithm by himself
for
so long,
yeah,
that he just had enough. And even me, like my last video is called Dear YouTube Fuck You, and in the video, like, I break my plaque and like I become very cynical because of how YouTube treats artistic content and like meaningful content. And when I was making that video, I was like, oh, I see how Sneeko would have spiraled. And I would have spiraled in that same way if it hadn't been for the community that's now formed. And so, like, honestly, I feel for him. You know what I mean?
I think maybe similar to what you were saying about, like, how if you had just, you know, changed your opinion because of what the influx of comments were saying, and then he were to see that. I think it's interesting even thinking about it that way, because if you are a person on the internet and all you ever get is like hate or backlash,
yeah,
then that would also shape you as a person and how you respond on the internet further. Yeah. So it's like one of the best things I think that you could do to a person is like try to be understanding and also involve them in community, because community can change, like, and in like, we're meant to be social creatures. Like, once you find a community, like, that is kind of life changing too.
No, exactly. I mean, and like, in a lot of ways, I guess, like, he found his community.
Yeah.
Which honestly, at first I was like, nah, like, that's not it. But it, in some, like,
what are you talking about?
In like him finding community in like the Nelk Boys and like the
Fresh and Fit
and everything. And even though, like, I'm not like at all into that stuff.
Yeah, I'm not on that side of like.
But for me, media. I was like, honestly, like, I honestly felt in some weird ways, like, happy for him that he found people to actually like talk to. And but I don't know if they're just like inking him on to like hide his insecurities and like to.
Well, that's also the problem, I think, with having a big internet presence, because he blew up in the span of months, like, hugely.
Yeah.
And I don't know. But from what I've seen in my circles of like social influencer friends, it's like once you are at that level, then everyone, you know, wants. It's like, do they love you for you or what you can do for them? And I'm not saying, I don't know who he hangs out with, or,
yeah,
you know, but
yeah,
like sometimes when you're just at a status, like, people will come because you're there.
Mm-hmm.
Where that's why, like, the saying, it's lonely at the top.
I'll say this, like, also, like, I don't know if this is going completely off topic, but like, he. Like, I get the anger and everything, and like, I have that in me as well, but like, now, and I think he thinks he's fighting the good fight, and in some ways maybe he is, but also I don't know if the content that he is producing right now is pushing anything. Like, I think we had this conversation in the subway where, like, his content it's like not pushing anything. I think the term that I used, I don't know if it would make sense to the audience, but like, the term that I used was like, it's not like good design anymore, you know?
That is interesting. Also, you coming as like a longtime-ish viewer of his, and you watch like all of his videos, where I just came across him as like a person, and then I would occasionally like watch his videos when he was like, oh, you could watch this one if you want to see like what my videos are about.
You know how, like, the same way like that I have kind of when I met you, I was like, I see your vision. Like, I can see.
I would like to get into that too.
Yeah. We'll get into that. But like, it's like, I could see that, like, you're unemployed millennial. Like, you did stuff with Shelby Church, even your friend group in YouTube and everything. It just is all aligned towards this, like, I don't even know if it's a niche or a genre of like the independent woman, like doing her own thing and like inspiring other women to do this or like to pursue their own careers and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I like think I saw that with Sneeko when he was uploading, and he was the first person on YouTube where I really saw the world, mm-hmm. at least in an artistic sense.
Can you explain more about that too? Like the world or building the world? And we can talk about
it's like
more
a term too, that but. Like we came up with, like my friends and I came up with to describe, like, because right now there's only one way of growing on YouTube, which is like high average view duration and high click-through rate, and then like do some Mr. Beast type stuff and then you'll make it. And like, if you're not data driven, if you're not consistently uploading, you're fucked. But what we realize is, like, what if you took the long-term play and decided to discover yourself, and that's the term we use, like, to build your world, because humans are like multifaceted. Like, we're not just data-driven individuals. We don't just do one thing, you know? Mm-hmm. So in a world that kind of encourages you to find a niche and like just focus on that, or to find a job and just to specialize in that, like go and search for and lean into things that make absolutely no sense, but trust that it will have a play in your life down the line. So for example, like, yes, I want to be a filmmaker, but I shouldn't like hold in the part of me that loves building Legos, because it might help me down the line in some ways. It's building my aesthetic in a lot of ways, that because if I lean into building Legos, if I lean into all these other things that I want to do, I don't know. Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, I think that was really beautifully articulated. The way that I even like referenced that today. Okay, so the airlines lost two of my bags. So then I went like to go shopping for an outfit. Yeah. And I never go shopping. And we talked about this last time where I was like, okay, I maybe want to focus more on my clothing because it's like how I come across to the world. And you were like, oh yeah, you have the New Balance shoes. You're like building your world. Like you told me
exactly.
to make a Pinterest. It's like building your world, even how you physically come across.
In the smallest things. Yeah.
And I also really like how you said, you know, like we're multifaceted. I think mm-hmm. I have been saying a lot lately that being a full-time YouTuber doesn't create a well-rounded person.
For sure not. Yeah. Yeah.
Because if you're just continuously like posting, you're just like feeding the algorithm. It's great for views. But then even like, I think Emma Chamberlain talked about this in one of her podcasts that I listened to. She like was working super hard trying to build her YouTube, and she was just like, how big can I let this get? And then like years later, she's just like, I don't even know what I really like to do.
Yeah. It's like, honestly, like, I mean, no offense to the people that do it, but honestly, it's kind of like boring. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. And if you look at Emma Chamberlain right now, like she's amazing. Like, she has her podcast. She did voiceovers for a show. If she's interested in something, she'll just lean into it. You know, obviously she doesn't overwhelm herself in like everything, but if you have the urge to do it, why are you resisting? You know?
Yeah. I think it makes, I think the law, and also it's something you said, like the long-term view.
It's a long-term play. Yeah.
I think you're totally accurate.
And people remember you more, and the community that is built off of that is like so much better. And so, and they stick with you for longer, you know? And it's the littlest things that people catch on to. And like, you start to see that, I think, if you like follow even my content journey, like I start including Tyler, the Creator posters. Mm. I start including different music that I'm listening to, like Japanese music from the 50s. And then I start showing off my New Balance shoes. And, you know, there was a period of time where I was painting my nails, like I started showing all these little things that maybe made no sense, but like there might have been that one kid that was watching where it's like, I love Tyler the Creator too. That makes me like Ryan so much more.
Interesting. You know? So you also mean it in a way that's like just showing what's unique about you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's interesting because when I was a part of your mom's house, yeah. It's like people took away very certain things that they thought was interesting about me. So like for me, I don't think I ever really talked about like spirituality or any of that type of stuff on my channel. But then that was what, you know, my friends were like, oh, this is the thing that's interesting about you. Yeah. So that's what they show. So I think sometimes you might not even know what that thing is that is unique or that other people catch on to with you.
That's the other thing that I think is cool with like YouTube and stuff like that is that the audience will kind of almost help guide you and like in understanding who you are at some point, you know? And there's this thing that Tyler the Creator said. He's
first name
like,
basis here.
Yeah.
Mr. And, Tyler, yeah. The last name the Creator.
Yeah. And he was like, you just become, as you grow, you just become more of a sniper and you just understand yourself so well. You know? And like everything that you do is like you just ace it. It's just like you, it just makes sense that Tyler would do this. It makes sense that like Anne-Marie is going to start the Unemployed Millennial podcast. You know, it makes sense that you're partnering with this brand. It makes sense that, you know.
I think that's really interesting too, because a lot of people that I've been talking to recently, creators, like they have big channels, like get big views. But they're so stuck in their niche that it's a constant thing that I'm hearing. Like if they are just like in that niche, they're like, I desperately want to get out of this, but I can't because I feel trapped because this is where I get my views. This is what my audience knows.
Yeah. Yeah. But the beautiful thing about this is that, yes, you're going to be broke for like 3 more years than that other person that maybe succeeded in the first year, but you're going to last 20 years longer.
And I think it's more sustainable for the creator too, because you're actually feeding your interest, learning,
and growing. Then you can stop making YouTube videos and move on to fully doing the podcast and you won't lose any of your audience. Or you could decide to go into something else and you won't lose it, you know? And there's so many examples. I think there are very, like only a handful of examples of creators that have done it and like killed it. But those people are like so relevant. Like, I mean, look at Casey in the world that he's built, or like Emma Chamberlain. I brought her, I'm constantly bringing her up. Or like musicians, you know, like Mac Miller, Frank Ocean. Frank Ocean hasn't even like come out with anything for like,
yeah, that's a good example,
like 6 years. But because his world was so clear and what he, who he is so clear to his fans, they follow him. Like he just came out with like a, did you hear what he came out with? He came out with a cock ring.
Really?
Yeah, with like a diamond, and like, and people were like pissed off, but like that's just uniquely him. And like
interesting,
and it's interesting, but like it's like him, you know.
I was gonna say, even your thumbnails are like building your own world.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, my thumbnails are not on that level at all. But I look at your thumbnails and I'm like, oh, like
I appreciate it.
It's like a poster, kind of. Like
that's what I've tried to been leaning more into. I can even go into that a little bit as well. Of like, right now, like it feels so, like, I don't know what the word is, but like, it feels like the way that we approach thumbnails is childish in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
It's like, how do I get the most clicks?
Yeah.
And then you could find yourself redoing a thumbnail 50 times because it's like, is it my face that's not right? Is it like, does my smile have to be like 50, you know, 50% wider so that people will like it? Or should I use the color blue more because people will like that? And like, I remember talking to like Ryan Tran's editor and he was like, I can send you like this whole thing, like of colors that you can use and like,
what?
And like of things that people will click on. And they break down this thing and nothing wrong with it, but like it's like you break down this thing that is very subjective into something that, and they think it's objective, where it's like this color gets clicks or whatever. And when it doesn't get clicks, you start freaking out and you go in this cycle and nothing works. So I remember just falling into that cycle a lot and going like, screw this. Like, this is not actually productive because I'm spending 3 days on this thumbnail and coming up with 5 different iterations and I don't actually know which one will get more clicks. So the approach that I've been taking more of is like, okay, let me finish the film first and whatever I think best reflects the emotions of the film, that's the thumbnail. And there's so much more direction when you think of it like that.
Yeah, because you know a lot of advice that I've heard even from like friends is think of the title and make the thumbnail before you even make the video.
Yeah, which is so silly. Because and so many people are like, the title and thumbnail are like 80% of the video.
Yeah, that's what
it says. And I'm like, that's so silly.
Yeah.
Right? That's so backwards thinking if you think about it.
Well, it's just like feeding the algorithm or whatever the algorithm.
What did Hasan Minhaj just say? He was like, you're just like, it's just crude oil. You're just pretty, I don't know.
Yeah, he basically, something to the degree of like,
you're just producing crude oil for Facebook, Meta, and YouTube when you're thinking in that way. And I think if you think about it in the way of like, make the film really good first, and then whatever best reflects the emotions of that film, people will click on that as well. You know, the thumbnail is an art piece in itself. And in that sense, is it going to pick up?
Maybe.
Okay. Anyways, in that sense, you know, your mind kind of expands from looking at other YouTubers to like looking at movie posters and music albums, and like people feel it, you know? People definitely feel it. Even with my last video, like I started leaning into that and I copied the Yeezus album cover.
Interesting.
And I did so much research on the Yeezus album cover, and it was like around the time when CDs were dying. And you know, the Yeezus album cover is like a really minimalistic CD with like a red tape over it. And I was like, took Virgil months to make it. And he was like, we decided to go with an open casket for the CD because everything is moving to iTunes and Spotify.
Oh, that's so fascinating.
So then I was like, how can I like think of this in terms of like YouTube terms? And I was like, oh shoot, like I can do an open casket for the silver play button, because having a silver play button now doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
You know? And this video was about my frustrations with YouTube. So, and like how they reward thirst traps now over good stories, and how thirst traps can get 100,000 subscribers in 5 days, whereas good stories takes 3 years to get 100,000 subscribers. So I was just voicing my frustrations there. And even though nobody will understand that my thumbnail was an open casket for the silver play button, I think the thoughtfulness like gets across and the uniqueness of the thumbnail gets across.
Yeah, wow. I love when there's intention behind something like that. Okay, so what's the solve to all of this?
To all of?
The favoring thirst traps versus storytelling.
I don't know. Everyone's figuring it out. I think the solve is that eventually companies will realize that there is no money to be made in thirst traps and in sponsoring these TikTokers with millions of followers. And
oh, so you're like talking about literal thirst traps, like on TikTok.
What did you think that I
thought you meant like clickbaity or like,
well, even
flashy
videos and stuff like that. I think that people are just going to catch on, and companies are going to catch on, because what makes,
so you think it's going to be companies?
Yeah, because what makes these things run are like people are giving like thousands and thousands of dollars to these people that are getting millions of views, but they're empty. They're like empty calories. They're like empty views. So I think they're going to realize that sooner or later, especially because the recession's coming up. And like, what's going to happen is like the money's going to shift and they're going to be much more intentional with their money. We actually just got off a call with someone that like does a lot of ad spend. And we asked him like, what's your biggest regret? And he was like, my biggest regret is spending $6 million on TikTok ads and TikTok sponsorships because it just fluctuates so much. And he's like, a much more stable thing would be not even doing sponsorships with creators, but doing collaborations with creators. Mm-hmm. So for example, this has a lot to do with the world building stuff, you know? So like, unemployed millennial, let's just use unemployed millennial as an example. Like, instead of being sponsored by, and I know I'm being annoying with this with you, but like, instead of being sponsored by LinkedIn, you're doing a collaboration with LinkedIn.
I don't care. It's not annoying. Know?
Or like, you're doing, let's just say for your channel, like you do a collaboration with a really popular roller skating brand, you know, and that's so much more effective, you know.
Yeah.
Than 60-second ad integration now.
So for me, I believe that the only way to really solve the problem of the storytellers or the artistics lacking for either like views and then like money or AdSense or sponsors is the community. Like that's the solve that I could see happening is like building a big enough community where you could just like raise each other up.
That's true. That's true as well. Like, I also think like it's just we're so early on in the process of trying to push storytelling as a thing that can live on like YouTube or like Hollywood quality stories that is a thing that could live on YouTube. Like, I think that's just starting to kind of, I don't know. I think the conversation is just being had. So like the frustrations make sense, but also it's just, we just have to be patient and like lock arms and just stay strong. I don't know.
So when we were in the car from Creator Camp.
Yeah.
You talked
Should
about.
Should we explain what Creator Camp is?
Yeah. And I think that's kind of why I wanted to transition into community, talking about Creator Camp, your role in it. Like maybe where the value is for you. But I guess closing from the last point, you said we were talking about the recession, I think. And
yeah.
I don't even know if we were talking about the recession, but we were talking about
how. We definitely were.
Okay. And then you were like, I think that the creator space is in a bubble right now.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
What do you mean by that? Or what did you mean?
It's just like, I like used the analogy and like compared it to like the 2008 housing crisis. And then like the movie, The Big Short, like, they realized that the housing market was fucked. And what they would do, what they did was like, they went to one of these conventions and stuff like that and talked to these people that were selling these, you know, or like the, I think it was like the subprime stuff or like mortgage, whatever. Like, don't take my word on that shit. But like, they went there and they realized like, oh, this is fucked. And I remember during Creator Camp, we were talking to Anth Poe, who's like a really well, like, you know, he's like been in the community. And he went to like VidCon and he realized that like these, they would have the biggest panels, like the biggest rooms for like TikTokers with 50 million followers and literally nobody would show up. Mm. Or like even like I would go to these networking events and like half the people that I talked to, they were all just shorts creators that just like, and they couldn't fathom not uploading 8 times a day to keep relevancy.
That is the craziest thing, is the difference between like short form and long form.
Yeah. But I think that's a bubble. Like, like that's, first of all, that's not sustainable uploading 8 times. And like, also,
your life
like
becomes
I said,
creating those 8 pieces of content.
Exactly. And like I said, the companies are going to be smarter with their money. As the recession happens, they're going to be like, oh, wait, you're not being effective with this. And like, you're not actually building my brand at all. You might actually be ruining my brand. So I'm going to pull. I'm going to actually pull. And I think a lot of companies are going to start pulling their sponsorships or charging much lower rates. And that's where I think a lot of shorts creators that are making a living, that are moving to LA and New York, are going to move back to their hometowns. And like, I'm serious. Me. Like, they don't have communities.
Yeah.
You know? No, but you have a community, you know? But like, and they never took time to really think about what they wanted.
Because they don't have time, because they're making 8 pieces exactly. of content.
Yeah.
Their life is yeah. not... Their life is about their content.
Honestly, it's probably for the better for them. It's yeah. just like, you know.
That is the dismal feeling that I have sometimes, because I've been on YouTube for 10 years. So I've seen like cycles of like people where they've like reached their height and then they go down.
Yeah.
And then it's just like the cycle of life, like, and everyone has that.
Yeah. Right now it's just like the hype, dude. Like, TikToks are like some TikTokers are making like, I don't know if I can even say that, fuck it, whatever. Some TikTokers are making like 10-20k to make a 60 second video. Yeah. That's fucking crazy.
Yeah. I agree that it is a bubble. Like, the money that's in social media right now is insane.
Yeah.
For some people.
It's not just for everyone. It's just hype, dude. It's like kind of like crypto in yeah. some ways. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think the last few years has been just like building up to this, like, just this crescendo of like kind of ridiculousness and like wastefulness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I agree that we're.
People feel the energy too. People definitely feel that, even like a lot of like these, the like, people that are deep in the creator industry, they're like, there's gonna be like a shift in 2023, especially towards more story driven content. Like, everyone knows it, you know. Even the people at YouTube, I think I even like was like talking to Hayden Hilliard Smith, who's Logan Paul's former editor and now is doing his own awesome stuff. Like, he's like, yeah, like, everyone knows about it. Like, at the top, even like Mr. Beast knows about it.
That's really, you know? Interesting.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, like, I don't know if but it's just cool to like see it and like be a part of it.
What is the YouTube new wave?
That's really hard to describe, but like the best way that I could describe it, by the way, the YouTube new wave is a thing that my friends Simon, Max, and I Wholesome Simon,
also a part of Creator Camp,
who is also founders. Part of Creator Camp, and we need to just describe what Creator Camp is as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, we need to get into that.
There's so much to get into. Okay. Jesus Christ. But
YouTube new wave, because I tried to talk about this on my podcast with Aiden, and I was like, do you know? And then he was like, I don't know what you're talking about. Okay. Like, okay.
He's a part of the YouTube new wave, he just doesn't know about it.
He doesn't know how to articulate it.
Yeah, so it's a term that we came up with, Max Reisinger, Wholesome Simon, and myself, and it's a play off of the new waves of like the filmmaking world that have come before, and like, I guess most notably the French New Wave, right? Which was this huge film movement that basically changed Hollywood forever, and that changed storytelling forever. So the reason why in some movies now you see the main character dies at the end, or jump cuts happen, or like, you know how in movies you go, it can go from one scene to the next scene and it'll go back to the original scene.
Is that different from a jump cut?
That's different. Can you like explain jump in time
to the listeners what a jump cut is? Also, thank you for taking this podcast on.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's fine. A jump cut is like passage of time in like a film, and it's like an editing technique. So let's just say like we cut to like 50 minutes from now. Like, it's just like a passage of time thing. I don't know how describe it fully, but anyways, all these editing techniques and like the storytelling and having more of a somber feel to stories comes from the French New Wave. And it might seem all normal right now, but it was really innovative back in the 50s, because Hollywood had the same formulaic storytelling where, you know, the guy wins the girl, and like, and like everyone is happy at the end and no one is sad, you know, the villain loses and whatever. And so anyways, that's a long explanation for us to say that the YouTube new wave is just inspiration from them. And I like to view it as like a double-edged sword. So on one hand, the YouTube new wave is trying to push meaningful content on YouTube, because right now it's just plagued with like Mr. Beast copycats. It's just encouraging people to look past the data and to look past average view duration and to show them that like, look, you don't need to think about all that stuff all the time to build really strong communities and to like, you know, make a living off of YouTube. And the other part, the other edge of the sword is kind of shouting off the rooftops, saying that like, look, Hollywood's democratized now. Like all these filmmakers that see YouTube as a place for amateurs, it's not. Like the next great filmmakers are going to come from YouTube and they're going to be shooting on their iPhones and they're going to be shooting on their webcams. And the next Spielberg is uploading YouTube videos right now, you know, and is trying to push the boundaries of what our generation grew up with, which is like vlogs and skits and all of that stuff. So that is the YouTube new wave. I don't know if that's a good explanation.
No, it is. I think it's pretty consistent.
Yeah.
With even building your world and what we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, Creator Camp. What's your involvement? How did you get involved?
So, Creator Camp.
And how has it impacted you? Because I feel like it's impacted everyone who attended so much that I'm curious to hear, like, from a founder's perspective.
I can't even explain.
I think it is the epitome of the power of community.
Yeah. Yeah. So Creator Camp stemmed out of the frustration of the fact that like 10 friends couldn't get together. So like we wanted to get together in the beginning of 2022 to just edit and do work together. Cause a year before,
wait, this was 2022 or 2021?
In early 2022.
Okay.
We wanted to do a Wholesome House 2.0. So basically, a year ago in 2021, we had done this thing called the Wholesome House. And the goal was everything that we talked about to push this idea of meaningful content and
with other fellow creators.
With fellow creators. And we wanted to do it different. We didn't want to go to LA, we didn't want to go to New York. We went to the middle of buttfuck nowhere in Montana.
In October of 2021.
In October of 2021. And we were so hyped. We're like, people are going to understand exactly what we're doing. We pitched it to a bunch of brands. No one gave a shit. We ended up spending thousands of dollars out of our own pocket to get there. And this lodge could fit 40 people. And the first 2 weeks, I think I told you, the first 2 weeks, four people showed up. And it was me, Max, Simon, and this kid named Tanner, who we'd never met before. And like, for 2 weeks, it was just the four of us. And then like, at the end, like, the people that said they were going to come, like, showed up for a couple days and then just left. And then, but it changed us. And it was so profound and it was so amazing, despite how little people showed up. That in the beginning of 2022, we wanted to do it again. We're like, we know that if we just got together and got out of our parents' houses for a little bit longer, we would succeed and we could push this movement forward. And no, again, like no brands, but this time, like we spent all our money. So like we had to get brands this time and no brands wanted to fund us at all. And we're like, we're going to do 2 months. We're going to sponsor your, we're going to sponsor it. Like you're getting so much money or so much value out of us. Nothing for months and months. And then I remember we were on this phone call and I was like, Max, like this is not working out. We have to think bigger. If the brands aren't going to give us money to do Wholesome House 2.0, fuck it. Let's just pitch the brands that we are throwing an event, and there are going to be 40 of the top up-and-coming creators are going to come to this event. Fuck it, let's put Elliot Choi on there. Let's put all these people on there. And like, granted, we like never talk to Elliot Choi at all, but like we're gonna make this happen. And then brands started listening, and then like it kind of like all kind of came together. And initially, we wanted to make camp and raise enough money so that we could do the camp, but the main thing was to still live out in the middle of nowhere for 2 months. That ended up not happening because we didn't raise enough money. We got one sponsorship that allowed us to run the whole camp for 2 days. And I think that was like, I don't know, it came out of nowhere.
So that turned into Creator Camp.
That turned into Creator Camp.
So there was never a Wholesome House 2.0.
There was never a Wholesome House
2.0. Oh. So how did you have the idea to, how did you guys have the idea to make it an event instead of a living house?
Well, just because we couldn't get sponsorships. And we were like, we have to think bigger. So let's bring more people together. And
just like more people, more numbers.
If we had more numbers and more people, then brands would be more willing to sponsor it. And that's exactly what happened for one company that decided to sponsor us.
I think that this is pretty genius because I have been saying for like years, because a lot of YouTube is very separate, alone. There was a company called Dote that kept bringing YouTubers, like the YouTube girly lifestyle girls together. And they're like no longer a company. They have like a lot of controversy, but that's beside the point.
Yeah.
And that's how I met Shelby. And from those events, I just kept saying like, anytime you bring a group of creative people together, I think magical things happen.
Yeah. And if it's genuine and if it's not like trying to suck their blood for like money, you know?
Yeah.
Because you could tell the vibes. Like, because when you go to these networking events that get like 40, 50K to, you know, to throw these networking events, nothing actually comes out of it, you know? But when it's genuine, like you could see it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say that Creator Camp was a very unique experience. I feel like everyone.
Yeah. From your perspective, what did you think of it? Like, and like, yeah, from a person that just attended.
Yeah, I had really no expectation. I was just like, this, again, I literally just had the mindset. I was like, anytime you bring a group of creative people together,
yeah,
like creative, hardworking people, I think magical things happen. I remember at the time, you probably had like 5 people going and Elliot was not on that list.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, I didn't know. I didn't really recognize any of the YouTubers.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay, whatever, I'll go. And I think it was really good timing for me because that was what, end of June?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I tell you something too?
Yeah.
When you did like a New York update or like a life update video and you mentioned Creator Camp in the video, and we're like, Anne Marie, like, did you guys see it? Did you guys see this? Like at like 18 minutes, like Anne Marie mentioned.
Oh, you guys really watched that whole video?
Yeah, like Anne Marie mentioned Creator Camp and then she was going to Creator. But that's so fucking crazy. We just came up with Creator Camp in our bedrooms.
I like to do that because it's kind of like creating your own reality.
Yeah.
Or me and Chris have like been calling it the multiverse. You know?
It is.
There's so much crossover. Yeah. And I know that you can, because, you know, that was like, I just left your mom's house. I knew that video would do well.
Yeah.
And it's like any way that you can help like another person or whatever thing that you believe in, I think, especially on the internet, I think so many people at a high level get so jaded. They're like, I'm not going to put that product in my video, like, unless they pay me like thousands of dollars. But I see it as like a long-term relationship building type thing.
Yeah.
And I think it's cool to like look back on the story because like my videos are vlogs and they're like just about my life. And it's like, oh, like this is what happened in my life. Like this was a pivotal moment. Like Creator Camp was pivotal for me because it helped me realize like, oh, the community I just left, there's more to that. Because for me, I've been on YouTube for like 10 years. It took me like 8 years to find like good YouTube friends. Mm-hmm. And then like 9 years to find like a group of YouTube friends. Like that was so unreal to me. So I thought that I had lost like something very valuable.
When you left leaving your mom's house?
Yeah. I was just like, I'm never going to find this again. But then you go to camp and you're like, wow, there are like so many other people who are here.
Yeah.
Who have like the same thoughts, like kind of the same things that they're thinking of or that I'm thinking of. Mm-hmm. And it just like opened that door for me, I think. Just like even knowing that there are other people that I could connect to that are doing the same thing.
Yeah. I don't, it's really interesting. I don't think I fully processed Creator Camp at all. I don't know if I could ever fully process. Maybe like when I take a step back one day when I'm like in my,
I journaled about it and I remember writing like when you guys were filming.
Yeah.
It was probably like the last day or so. You guys were all filming. Yeah.
I remember you were in your hammock and you were journaling.
Yeah. And I was like, I know that this will be like a pivotal. I have my journal like in my backpack.
Yeah.
But I wrote something like, I know that this event will be the start of a lot of things. And not even just for me. Mm-hmm. I was like, I could just tell. I was like, people are going to be doing things with each other. Like stuff is going to come out of this camp.
That was crazy to see because usually brag or like whatever, but like usually like in networking events, like you talk to one person, you get their business card, which whatever, right? Or maybe you build like one good friendship that lasts kind of. But with Creator Camp, almost immediately, like people started dating after Creator Camp, after they met at Creator Camp, and like people were getting opportunities almost immediately. You know, like a good example is like Cariza, who went, and she doesn't have like many subscribers, but she's very talented, and like L Mills saw her videos after Creator Camp and was like, she needs to go to Buffer, which is like what the biggest creator film festival. And then she got into Buffer immediately afterwards. And then like we see like Luke Korns meeting up with Aaron Barnes in Europe, and like you know, even like us like meeting up right now and like doing this stuff. And like I don't know if I should even reveal this, but like I don't know when this podcast is coming out, but Aiden pitched an idea to Anthony at the event, and Anthony went out and spent a couple thousand dollars to make it happen, and now they're making it happen early next year
in January.
So like a lot of projects came out of that like almost immediately afterwards, and also like I just feel like I'm friends, it almost feels like a family in some ways, you know. And I'm just trying to hold on to it because I'm just trying to hold on to it for as long as I'm like nostalgic for these times right now as we're building all this stuff.
It's really cool, and it's cool to watch you guys do it. I would say that you guys have like a tough journey ahead of you.
For sure, yeah.
But you guys are all like super impressive, and what you're doing I think is incredible.
No, I appreciate it. It's interesting because like this was supposed to be content house, you know, and then it just turned into a business, or like an events business, which is so trippy.
That is really trippy.
Yeah. I don't know.
So at what point did Chris get involved? And because now it's pretty much modeled after.
I need to explain who Chris is.
Oh yeah.
First of all, let me take you all the way back to 2021 before the Wholesome House ever happened. Okay. There's a whole other fucking story.
Chris has a lot of like, woo, create your own reality stories too.
So before I met anyone of my YouTube friends, I'd read this book called The Third Door, and it like, I think it really changed my life. It was by this guy named Alex Benayan, who,
you know, it's funny, I saw him speak at USU when I was going there as a student.
Didn't you say you did not attend his talk?
Because no, I did.
You thought that he was okay.
I did attend it, and
very extravagant, and
I like, didn't like the talk. I was like, this guy's bullshit, he's just like a big bull. Like honestly, like a lot of guys have
I get it because of how he like, it's just like a lot of like, I don't know how to explain it, but like the energy is just off-putting sometimes.
I think it's like a guy way of, you know, telling their story that I think if a girl, I don't know, it was just something that was just like, it just seemed like a little.
I get it. Yeah, it is off-putting. But the story is that he was 18 years old, going to med school in USC, and was very frustrated with his life. he did not actually want to be a med student. So one day he went to the library with his friends, sat down with pen and paper and was like, okay, guys, if you were to learn from anyone in the world, any topic, what would you learn from? And they came up with a list. Steven Spielberg for filmmaking, Bill Gates for business, Warren Buffett for finance. And he came up with a list and he goes, okay, in the next 4 years while I'm in college, I'm going to interview every single one of these people. It's a very like naive thing to say. But by the end of the book, he'd interviewed Bill Gates. He'd interviewed all these people on how they became successful. And it wasn't, the book's value wasn't in its, in like the advice that these people gave, but it was in his journey on how he was able to even get these people to participate in this book.
The third door?
Through the third door, yeah. I mean, and the third door analogy is like,
yeah, can you explain
is,
that?
Yeah. There's like let's just take door. a nightclub as an example, right? There is the door that most people go through, which is like the line that wraps around the block, right? Then there's that VIP, which you could say are like the rich people that have
that just pay
the
to
privilege
get in.
And they pay to get in. Then there's the third door, and those are the people that jump through the window, sneak through the kitchens. There's a back door that you could sneak through. And what he said is that almost all these people, all these successful people that he spoke to, Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, whoever it is, like they found their way to where they are through a third door, through a creative way. And so anyways, like the way that he got in the door with these people, one of the big reasons was this guy named Elliot Bisno. So early on in his journey, he was doing research, a lot of research online, and ran into this guy named Elliot Bisno. And he's almost like this mythical creature in a lot of ways. The way he explained it in the book, it was like at the age of 23, he built this event, private event called Summit Series. And ever since, some of the most important people in the world have attended.
Like me.
Like you. Yeah. You can also explain. Yeah, I also want to hear about your like experience at Summit Series. But basically, anyone who has impacted millions of people has been there. Gary Vee, Jeff Bezos, Kendrick Lamar.
He's my interview number 8. I think he's actually the interview that I'm posting right before yours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy. So it's crazy that like we're talking to this guy and like he knows about I know. Us, right? Like, and anyways, like I read this book before I knew any of my YouTube friends, and this Elliot Bisno guy, like he was just a legend because the way he got in the door, the way he presented himself to these people, like I remember in my mind thinking like, okay, what would Elliot Bisno do in this situation? He would think bigger, right? And that's the motto that I used even with.
Yeah, I think when you said that for Wholesome House, I was like, that sounds familiar.
Yeah,
because after I read the book, Make No Small Plans.
Yeah,
I realized that Creator Camp is being like closely modeled after.
Yeah,
Summit. Yeah. And okay, well, that was your meeting Chris.
Yeah. Okay. So this. Sorry, this was a fucking long story.
It's okay.
But I hope this is actually engaging.
Yeah, I think it is.
Okay. Okay, so I'm using this like Elliot Bisno guy as like this mythical creature that like I'm trying to follow him, just trying to like follow his values.
He is kind of a mythical creature.
I know. He's like weird. He like plays tennis with Serena Williams.
What? And
yeah, he like does practice. He like practices with Serena Williams because he's like, he was supposed to be a pro tennis player.
Okay, when we were at Summit, he saw that Chris and I were just like hanging out with each other. But it was weird because I interact very independently in the world a lot of the time alone. And so I was like, okay, like we're probably going to do our own things. But we would actually meet a lot of people together.
Mm-hmm.
But he was like, okay, you guys need to go like talk to people. Like, okay. And he just turns around and he like starts talking to the people literally walking by. And then he gets into this like great conversation and they end up being podcasters. Like they have like 8 podcast channels.
I know. I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but it was just like the craziest way that he, I mean, he started the whole thing, so it's probably easier for him, but it was a very natural way. Like, you could just tell him meeting people and like engaging in very interesting conversation is just like, yeah. It's just second nature to him now.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, I mean, it definitely is because like...
But also it was magical. Yeah, I was like, that was actually insane.
To meet Bizno?
Just the way that he... like even had us like interact with other people and like just the way that he turned around and was like, hey.
Yeah, he's like a legend. Like if you know about him, he's like a legend, but if you don't know, he's like, who the fuck is this guy, you know? Anyways, so like I remember during while we were trying to do Wholesome House 2.0, it was like, what would Ellie Bizna do? He would think bigger. He would do this event thing. And then that's when we brought on Chris, who was friends with Eli, and Chris, the way that Chris got in the door, because he's not a content creator, he got in the door because by
he makes some
working for TikTok. Inc. magazine.
Yeah.
Because he knew that if he could get a job at Inc. magazine, if he got the email chris@inc.com, he could get into any door. So that's how he got in the door with Eli, who, and then Chris decided to just help out us, right? And I remember pitching Chris. I'm like, Chris.
Wait, you mean that's how he got in the door with Elliot or Eli?
That's how he got in the door with Eli, and then that's how Chris met us.
Okay.
And I remember pitching this to Chris, and I was like, Chris, we're trying to do this thing. We're trying to build this event. And he goes like, yes, man. Like, I think I know someone that might be able to help. And I was like, who would be able to help? He's like, do you guys know like Elliot Bizno? He's like, he's my mentor. I'm like, no fucking way.
Wow, that's like, crazy.
No way.
How synchronous.
And he was like, let's come up with a pitch to Bizno and let's get in a call with him next week. I remember spending like 2 hours on a pitch.
So you Chris. Separately had this whole journey with the third door, because yes, I've heard Chris's like side, and he was like, I read the third door, like kept mentioning Elliot Bizno.
Chris that's is like, so you got to bring Chris on the podcast.
I really wanted to, or yeah. I will for sure. I wanted to in San Diego.
His story of how he met Bizno is like wild, and he should tell that story.
Yeah.
But
that story is wild.
Yeah, I had made at Wholesome House 1.0, I had made Simon and Max read it, and they were so obsessed with the book that we used Bizno as like this like
make no small plans.
Yeah,
read it. Yeah. Yeah,
we made him as like a god that we like needed to that we followed, and then like all of a sudden we're in a call with him. And he was like reading our names. I remember he's like, everyone's early. Ryan, Chris, Simon, Max. And I was like, no fucking way. I have this all recorded. He's like, so what do you guys need help with? And like,
you watch it every night before you go to sleep.
Yeah, it was so weird. And then by the end of camp, like, it felt like we kind of knew him decently. Like, he was like, FaceTime with his daughter with us, and he'd tell us stories about Summit. And then like Simon was eating Cheetos with his shirt off as he's giving us advice. Like, I don't know, it was nuts. I was crazy. But that's the story about how I met Chris. I mean, that's more of a story of how we met Bizno, but like,
I like that was a good story. Yeah. I've never heard that story, because for a lot of these things we've already talked. It's like 3:37, and it's like stuff that I like think is interesting to but I've never heard that story, so I think that's fascinating.
Yeah, I love telling that story.
Oh, that's so good. Wait, fuck, I thought of something, a follow-up question, but completely slipped my brain. No. I like, if it is important, it'll come. But
how was your experience in Summit?
Okay, well, it was incredible. Like, like that was kind of another turning point for me, similar to like Creator Camp, but just at a different, like not level, just like a completely different experience. But I was going to say, for me reading Make No Small Plans, that was the first time, I think I told him this too, maybe in my podcast with him, that I saw someone actually take a community and make that like a lifestyle and their like career. Because I've always had this theory that, like, you know, connecting with people is very important.
Yeah,
And it's kind of even like, you know, you have your job, you have your career, you have your family, like school, whatever, like your priorities. And I put like my friendships, connections, like relationships, like at the same level. Like I put that much time and dedication into them. And after a certain point of doing that and like not, you know, it's like, is this the right answer? Or like, can this go anywhere? And it's like, it doesn't matter if the answer is yes or no, but him in that book was the first time I was like, wow, like you can actually really build an entire world, like insanely. So that book to me was really the first time like reading something like that.
Yeah.
And yeah, I would, I don't know. I think he's like a very kind person who has, even in the book, it talks about him like needing to be socially calibrated because he was just like, you know, like the salesperson. Mm-hmm. So I think it's, I don't know. I think it was like kind of cool being at Summit and seeing like him interact with like Chris, because Chris is building like Creator Camp, and it kind of seems like a brotherly type of like,
yeah, he's very protective over Chris.
And yeah. Like, he's like, go talk to people. And I'm just like, wow, that's adorable.
Chris is, it's like a older brother like type thing.
It really feel like it. It looks like that. It feels like that, and it's like you could tell it's really genuine too, I think. Okay, back to Creator Camp. What is your personal goal, like
with Creator Camp?
Yeah, and like, how do you see it playing out? Is this like long term, 5 years, 10 years? Like, what's the vision?
The goal, we talk about the goal all the time, but like, we're talking about building physical spaces and like is to build a campus. Like,
so basically just read campus. Make No Small Plans and you will know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, basically like following behind Bizno's footsteps, like they rented, they now own the largest ski resort in America, and all the big entrepreneurs that initially, you know, is a big part of Summit Series now owns homes on this ski resort. And like, we kind of want to do the same thing where like, if Anne-Marie is struggling with a video, she could just fly out to Creator Campus and spend some time there and feel refreshed and feel like there's a support
creator
system
campus
for them.
I love that. That's so cool.
Yeah, that's what we're calling it, is Creator Campus. So good. That's like the main physical vision, but like, I guess like the other vision is like just to push the culture of this throughout the whole creator industry.
I don't know if I, this was a thought that I had when I spoke earlier, but I don't know if I completed it, but I think you guys are the only ones doing this right now, in my opinion, or at least from what I've seen, and doing it like well, because I think like every time usually creators get together as a group, it's like through brands or like brand trips or like brands are bringing people together. I've never seen anyone do something also to this kind of scale, because it went from like 30 people. Next one's like 60.
70.
70. Yeah, I think you guys
have you seen the place?
No.
Maybe I shouldn't show it to you.
Maybe everyone always says like, oh, I have it. No, I think it's always you. I think it's always you who says that.
I've probably said that like a million times. Yeah.
It's okay. I like to be surprised.
I apologize.
No, I don't care. I don't care at all.
I mean, like, you won't be surprised by like when you get there, like we're probably going to send an email, like a mass email that has everything. The other thing that we want to do with camp is like, that I think would be cool is like, also like you're going back to like building the world, like building the world isn't just a personal thing. It could be something for your brand. It could be something for your company, you know? So like for campus, like, or for camp, like how can we extend this events business to something that can be more culturally impactful? Like we want to build physical spaces, but also like, how cool would it be to like make posters or like clothing and seasonal clothing, you know, that people could wear. So it's stuff like that we're thinking about doing as well, that I think would be really fun, like doing yearbooks or like,
oh, that'd be
zines,
so cute,
and stuff like that. Yeah.
Okay, going on building your world, because I told you this over the phone yesterday.
Yeah.
For me, similar to maybe how you said you saw
yesterday,
this with Sneeko.
Yeah.
Well, oh yeah, that was today, huh?
Yeah. That was yesterday.
That's
but like
so trippy.
Yeah.
That's so funny. We had like an hour long conversation on the phone earlier.
Yeah.
That's funny. Okay, so I told you that a lot of people like give me advice for my YouTube channel, you know, but a lot of, not a lot of people, rarely people like see the vision of what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
And I told you that you have articulated my vision or thoughts of my vision to me that I've had that like I don't really explain or have articulated myself. And I've never been able to record or, you know, like that would be fascinating to have for myself. Yeah. So could you tell me what you think my world is from what you've explained so far? And you've even done this like for Unemployed Millennial podcast, like before it started.
Yeah. Yeah. No, actually that means a lot. But
that is a big compliment because no, that's like, I feel very like that. Even like our conversation at the end of Creator Camp, I just felt very seen by you. I felt seen.
That actually means a lot. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
But I don't know, man. Like,
and you don't have to go into detail. Like, you don't just maybe like highlights, like a few sentences.
Thoughts, like when I'm eating breakfast of like my friends and like how like the worlds that they built. And obviously, like, as you like, continue creating authentic content, like the vision is going to be seen clearer and clearer, and you could see where like this thing will like lead to, and like again, like being a sniper at like knowing exactly who you are. But I was just like, I guess I was like putting the pieces together, I don't know if it was this morning, it was like you know, like shower thoughts and stuff like that. I was like putting the pieces together of like Anne-Marie, like this is, makes so much sense, right? She's got the Unemployed Millennial podcast. Her most popular videos is her like internship series. And like even before you were in your mom's house, like the most popular video or one of the really popular videos that you had was the Unemployed Millennial thing. And when you were like hanging out with your dad.
Yeah.
And then also like Paul having mentioned LinkedIn to you, and then you being friends with Kelly Stamps and having done extensive work with Shelby Church, I was like, you like, it just makes so much sense to me that you would be a part of that world where maybe you're not getting millions of views, but like you're getting like really valuable hundreds of thousands of viewers who, I mean, and I was saying like you would be inspiring many people, but like the main core audience would probably be like other women that like want to live this independent lifestyle and like want to, I don't know. How did I explain it to you this morning? Like, am I explaining it well?
Or yeah.
Like, and I think I see it in you. And also like having spoken to you as like a person, as well, like you are that person, like the when we're talking about like business stuff, or like when we're talking about taking control of your life or like taking action in your life or understanding yourself, like you know yourself super super well and like you're super super sharp, and that just like all of that stuff adds up to like the Shelby Churches of the world and like that world, or even like going beyond that. And I feel like you could push that with the Unemployed Millennial podcast, and like there's going to be so much more shit that you're going to do as you like build out the world and have a clearer vision. But like the vision's already so clear and where to get started, you know, and you're already getting started. So I think 2023 is really special for is going to be really special for you, because I think you're going to hone in that. But I don't know.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay, one thing that you said while you were saying that, and very consistent with building your world but doing it digitally, is interesting. You were like, you know, even went down to like the friends that I have or like hang out with, or like my public figure friends, whatever. Okay, so I always have this thought, I'm like, how you do anything is how you do everything. But to me that is especially true if you're able to even track like, oh, she hangs out with this person, she works with LinkedIn, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think that that's a good thing or a bad thing? Or like, what are your thoughts on that?
That you are like associated with certain things? That I think it could be like, it could be a bad thing and it could be a good thing, because you, the reason why I was like even hesitant to say those things is like, I don't even know if you want to be associated with that.
See, that's the interesting thing. It's like, do we have to, even when you were saying like, oh, I'm nostalgic for these times right now, it's because everything's like still kind of in the beginning stages. And it's like, you don't have those attachments to like people, or like people don't group you together yet. It's everyone's just like individual flowing. So I wonder sometimes.
I think it'd be harmful and helpful, you know, because like it could trap you into this thing. And if you ever want to move into something else, it's like, well, you're not that person, you know, and if you do that thing, you're weird. But like, I don't know. I think, but also I feel like you're at a point where like you just don't give a shit about like, or like maybe you do, but like you don't give that many shits about like what other people think, and you just go down whatever path you feel like.
Yeah, that's right. Something that I've actively like had been working on.
But in that sense, like seeing the world and like seeing who you work well with and like, or like pair well with and stuff like that is actually helpful, because it might help you discover more about yourself faster. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah.
So what does your world look like for the next, for 2023? This is appropriate for today since it's New Year's almost.
What does my world look like for 2023? I've told you this already, but like, and 2023 and beyond, but like, I think for so long I've been trying to, I don't know what I was trying to do. I was just trying to make vlogs or whatever, but like, I don't know. But I'm realizing now that I want to be more of the creator's creator, and I want to help the next generation of artists and creators, and help them, like give them an easier time. So like document my life and document all of the things that I've learned in every way possible, and build a library, whether that's through my YouTube channel or my LinkedIn or my Instagram, like just even as a person, like I want to be that library and like that help for people. Mm-hmm. And I always like tell people that, like, I mean, the dream when I'm in my 60s is to be a professor that teaches this stuff, you know? So like, why not do that stuff right now? And like,
you should substitute teach for high school and teach the high schoolers this.
I would be so down. Yeah.
I substitute taught, and I think it would benefit everyone if just like, people did it regularly, because I think kids have someone, if they have someone to look up to, then they listen like a lot more. And it's like, you're a YouTuber. Every kid wants to be a YouTuber. That's interesting.
The other thing about like leaning into things that, or like that, really leaning into people that, you know, you maybe want to be I don't know what the fuck I'm saying.
It is boring.
I was saying, like, the other thing about building your world and like leaning into certain things, and maybe your audience pointing out certain things about you, is like, you get to, like, you have to strip yourself of all your ego in a lot of ways, if that makes sense. Like, I want to be the Aiden and Natalie type that like has a really strong personality on YouTube and people follow them for their personality. But maybe I'm a better teacher, you know? Maybe I'm better at articulating, like, my personality is fine, but maybe where my value is really at is articulating these ideas to Natalie and to Aiden and to an audience of creators, right? So like, I had to really like sit with myself and almost like lose my ego in the last couple of months, and to really understand who I was, you know? I was like, nah, I'm a better teacher than I am a filmmaker. As great of a filmmaker that I think I am, like, I think I'm a better teacher, you know? Mm-hmm. And maybe that, like, I think that shattered my ego in the beginning, but now it's like, it's for the better, you know?
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so what would you say if you were a professor to your students? Like, what would your first lesson be?
For filmmaking or for like creating and stuff like that?
What would your course be on?
Well, I would probably want to teach something along the lines of like all the stuff that we're building right now on, with YouTube and like filmmaking.
So say the future of filmmaking is YouTube.
Yeah, yeah. Let's just say like I'm like there. Like the first thing that I would ever teach anyone is like how to work quickly to find your voice, because like that's everything. Like I really admire like, you know, Virgil Abloh, the design, fashion designer. The biggest thing he said was like, I selfishly work at like a feverish pace to find my voice as fast as possible. Because like when you're getting started at something, and I assume that all these students are just getting started or have some interest in filmmaking, but don't necessarily have the skills, or like the only way that you could get to a point where I can point out, oh, Unemployed Millennial fits with this, if, you know, or like Anne-Marie fits with this and this, is if you've created a shit ton already. The only way that I know that I want to be a professor and that I want to become the library for the next generation of creators is because I uploaded a shit ton before, you know? So like, I would tell them to find their voice as fast as possible. If you have an idea, like, no idea is bad. Like, we have a Discord that you're in called Creator Campus, and we invite a lot of like people that have like 1,000 subscribers, a couple hundred subscribers, and they always come to me and like ask me like, I have this idea, like what do you think of this idea? I'm like, go do it, you know? And they're always really hesitant. It takes them months to create it, but it's like, if only they knew that like volume, like they just needed to put more volume out there and then they would find their voice. Like it'd just be so much faster. So that's the first course would be to do that. Like make a 30-second film every week or make a 1-minute film every week for a whole semester. And you're going to be so much better and you're going to understand yourself so much more, you know?
So do you feel you've found your voice?
I'm finding it.
So your advice would be to put something out every week.
Yeah, well, like in the very beginning, yeah, when you like don't even like fully understand.
Have you done that on your channel?
When I was like 12, yeah, like I haven't done it in this stint in like the last 2 years when I've really like fully committed to YouTube and decided to drop out of school. Now
would you ever do that?
Right now, no, I would never. Maybe there will be a time where I'm like constantly, continuously uploading, but I don't see that anytime soon, you know?
So how would you advise people to find their voice?
If you have an idea, just like go do it. You shouldn't even overthink. Like you just need to go and create. You just need to put shit out there, even though it's bad. I think you'll feel so much better, because like a lot of people just sit in their rooms and just like contemplate. It's actually really cathartic to just get it out there.
Yeah.
And like the minute that you you upload the first one, you're going to upload the second one, then the third one, and then starts becoming a habit, you know? Yeah, that's how I do it. I mean, it's really simple, you know?
Like, it's simple, but it's hard.
It's hard, definitely hard. Like I struggle with it too, same. You know. But like, if you have an idea, just do it, dude. Like, I think people get really shocked when like they come to me with an idea, and they expect me to have some sort of criticism on like how they can improve their idea. But I just tell them like, that's good. Go.
I think that's good.
It like trips them out a little bit because they're like, shouldn't I think this through a little bit more? I'm like, nah, you should just go, you know?
Yeah. Anytime you share your ideas with someone and they give their input, it's just, I don't know.
It just makes you overthink more. And then like, maybe you feel a little bit better that you asked someone and then now you get to overthink a little bit longer.
Yeah.
But like, it doesn't actually help you.
It's like false dopamine.
Exactly. Almost like, you know, like everyone says that critiques are good and asking for people to critique your films are good. But honestly, like to an extent, maybe. Like, I don't really ask people for I don't really ask people for advice on my videos anymore. I'm like,
yeah, me neither.
I don't want you to tell me what I'm doing.
Yeah, because it's your creativity. Yeah. It's like, it's your video.
Yeah. But what is helpful is like, if I get, like, we get to know each other really well and I show you my video and you're like, oh, maybe you could add this. Like, didn't you say that you liked this thing? Like, why isn't that there? Why am I not seeing that there? You know, I don't know if that makes any sense, but like, as I get to know you more,
Elliot, like, format his thoughts.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, Elliot, like, lean into certain things into your in your films, you know, like, but that only comes because you know that person really well.
Yeah.
You know, there should be no criticism in the beginning, especially if you're just getting to know that person. But then as you get to know them, like, you know, you can make curated critiques.
Okay, and final question.
Yeah.
What are you most excited about for 2023?
Oh, man.
Oh, man. Sleep.
I don't know, dude. There's so many things I'm excited for. I'm excited to actually be financially capable, like capable financially to like move out. I'm excited.
That's huge.
Yeah. I'm excited to like take my first step into like kind of independence, like to cook for myself. And like, it's like, I've been like practicing for this moment, you know, where like, like I'm excited to like go grocery shopping with friends. And like, we all want to, for context, like we all want to move to Austin and like, all the Creator Camp guys want to move to Austin. Like, I'm excited that I could like knock on someone's door. Like, that's all exciting, but like, that's not what I'm most excited about. I'm scratch that.
Okay.
I'm most excited about like expanding my world, and like, I'm excited about cutting my hair and making it like, and like making it look the way that I want it to look. I'm excited about molding my YouTube channel into what I make, what I'd like it to look like. I'm excited about molding Creator Camp into a more established brand. Like, I guess that's what I'm excited about. It's just expanding my world. And like, also I'm excited to build my confidence with certain things in my life, you know, and like dress better and present myself better and start working out again and all of that stuff. So, and a lot of stuff, it's like just been leading up to this moment of like Ryan 2.0.
I love that. You know.
How about you?
A lot of the things that you said, I'm like very, I feel like this year I, again, like you said, like financially capable, where I can like actually feel comfortable, like building my world by like, you know, knowing that I can like pay my editors or like actually pay my intern.
Yeah.
Instead of just like supporting like other people. I think that's super important for me. And I feel like I'm at a place where I'm like finally like confident and like comfortable doing that. Yeah. And yeah, kind of like what you said, I think I've never really paid that much attention to building my own world. I feel like maybe
it's like a video game almost, like,
yeah. You know? And it's like, even like down to like, I used to never buy my myself like nice things for my room. Even like, I remember my ex-boyfriend bought me like these nice lights and like speakers and stuff, and I always like valued them so much. And then at a certain point I was just like, why don't I just do this for myself, you know?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
even like the bed sheets that you have, like the soap that you use, like just creating a nice world for
also,
yourself.
Like, I started painting.
Ooh.
And like just doing stuff. So I painted this the other day for my
wow, that's really good.
Thanks.
You were very creative. Thank see you. I don't have the artistic talent to, like that at all.
Like, so, well, I'll show them as well. I painted this the other day. I don't even know if you could see
this. You gotta just send it to me so I can put like a little pop-up too.
Yeah. But like that's the stuff I also been cooking. This is crispy tofu.
That's like, I'm really trying to like learn how to cook better.
Yeah, yeah.
That looks really good.
I've also been like saving furniture.
Ooh.
Just like cool shit, you know? just little mirror selfies, and like I've been painting like stuff like this. Wow. Please create fearlessly. Thank you. You know,
that's really cool. You have a very, I think, unique creative mind that's also very analytical, and you like to, you know, psychoanalyze things, like similar to how I do.
Yeah, I think I think it's like definitely helpful and like not helpful in a lot of ways. But yeah.
Okay, well, thank you for coming and agreeing to do this podcast.
Thank you for having me. It is now, it is 4 a.m. and you have to leave in like 2 hours and 30 minutes and I have to leave and I don't know where the fuck I'm going.
You're coming to the airport with me. We should go spend years in Alaska. It'd be fun.
That would be fun.
This time,
you
want
to buy me the $1,000 ticket?
Hey, I'm not that financially competent yet. Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you, Ryan. I'm sure the multiverse in this will continue.
It will expand. It will grow, and there will be more people from the multiverse.
That That's probably what I'm most excited about. Yeah. I'm excited to make a video, and if I want to reference like Elliot Biznow now, I can have my podcast footage, and then I can have you talking about him. And then
honestly, you're documenting.
Yeah,
like honestly, like in a lot of ways, you're documenting the rise of this new age of creators.
That's, again, like you articulate, like that's interesting because I am like really kind of obsessive about documenting something sometimes. Yeah. That's why I think I love journaling. But I see it as the same way. It's like I want, like, you could create a web of like things and people and just make all the connections and like see where everyone met everyone. Like, I'm excited for that for some reason.
And like the people that stick around and like listen to all this stuff, like I think their minds will be blown.
It would kind of be like reading a book, like, but you could like,
it is like a fairy tale.
Yeah,
you know,
and you could like, you know, it's like Ryan, now you could like go check on your whole world and your YouTube and social media. Yeah, I'm like,
there are people in the community that have caught on, and like when they catch on, their minds are like fucked. Like their minds just are blown by like the multiverse. They're like, Ryan is friends with Aiden. Aiden is friends with Natalie and
me.
The YouTube new wave. You know, yeah, it's like, what is going on now?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's really interesting. That's something I'm very excited to build out, like, or just to do. Like, I've always just had this idea of this freaking digital timeline, and I wanted to be able to like click and reference and just cross reference.
That would be really cool like have an unemployed millennial kind of time.
I actually have one right now, but it's really? Like it was before I went to your mom's house. Yeah, that's like the ultimate goal, and I think I have like a touch of the tism.
yeah.
I think that's why my brain just like needs to meticulously record things, but I also have to balance it out with living, so it's helpful to make the content so I can live and then record later.
How would you rate the 2 a.m. to 4 a.m. podcasting time?
I would rate you like 9 because you really carried this whole conversation. And
I appreciate that.
I wish I think that's the most important thing, because that's why I have a podcast, is like to, you know, to introduce like another person. And so I don't know if you got my best questions or like whatever, but
I think that was really great.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad.